Good morning and happy Easter. As I was thinking about this morning, I was reflecting back on a lot of the memories that I had as a child growing up about Easter specifically. And I have really special memories as a child related to Easter. The memories usually involved some kind of Easter egg hunt, a new pair of socks, and this sweet bread called Pascha, which usually was just covered in icing. It's so awesome. We all loved it, and we still do. Some of you actually might even be snacking on it right now. Now, the thing with Pascha is that we only had Pascha once a year because it was really, really special. It reminded us of something that was even more special than the actual bread itself. It reminded us as children of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And the resurrection of Jesus is the central piece. It is the hinge on which our faith pivots. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then like the Apostle Paul said, our faith is futile. What we're doing here today is absolutely meaningless. You may as well, you know, turn your TV off and just go do something else, because I'm wasting your time and mine. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, then everything changes. Everything. If Jesus rose from the dead, then in him we can actually have victory over sin, because his power is now our power. If Jesus rose from the dead, then in him we don't have to fear death in this life, because once we physically die, we can know that we will be with Jesus forever and eternity. If Jesus rose from the dead, then we can also be assured that he is Lord over all creation, and he is in control of all things, even amidst the discouraging pandemic in which we find ourselves. You see, the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. And perhaps many of you have come to this day and you believe that, you have joy in your heart, you've got that extra skip in your step because of the life that you have in Jesus, and you are rejoicing in that. And I say, praise God, that's awesome. You need to celebrate this great news. I need to celebrate this great news. But you know what? I know that there are others of us who aren't experiencing the same kind of joy, because this Easter is very different for all of us. This Easter, you're probably not having a family gathering or going to visit loved ones, and it's disappointing because you had hopes and dreams to do that. But it's not just this weekend that you're rearranging. You are looking at the calendar in the next weeks and months ahead, maybe even throughout the year, and you're already starting to cross off those plans that you had been thinking about and dreaming about for the entire year. I've heard about some weddings that are affected. I have a niece who is one of those. Everything that was hoped and dreamed about that special day is now uncertain. And that's really, really discouraging. For others, there's a growing sense of anxiety as you think about the job situation that maybe even you find yourself in, and it's affected. You're in that same EI support line as several million others. For others, you're getting frustrated because the house is getting a little bit small, and you and the kids are housebound, and it's just challenging. Even this last week, I've heard some of you witness the growing unease in our own city as people take out their frustration at our grocery store workers and our bus drivers. And then we watch the news and we groan inwardly when we hear that the government is saying that it might be several more months of what we're experiencing. I had a conversation just this last week with one individual who was really, really discouraged, struggling to know how to walk this road because it seems like their life is on hold and they don't know what to do with it. You see, followers of Jesus, they're not immune to these different feelings and attitudes, maybe even wondering at points where Jesus is in this global mess, and if his death, which we remembered on Good Friday, and his resurrection, which we're remembering today, makes a difference. Like, does it really make a difference? And as I've been trying to stay connected with where people are at, understanding the times in which we live and understanding God's word, I see and hear a lot of discouragement and a lot of disappointment. And you know, I know that it's Easter Sunday, and I know that we need to be expressing joy, and I know that many of us bring out the pinks and the purples, but you know what? Joy and bright colors weren't exactly how the first Easter Sunday started with at least two of the disciples of Jesus. So if you find yourself tuning in today and you're feeling discouraged, you're feeling a little disappointed in life or maybe in your faith in Jesus, I actually have really great news for you. You're not alone. There's many others just like you. Maybe you are even feeling abandoned by Jesus right when you needed him the most. Maybe your past or your present experiences are placing you at a very specific crossroads in your relationship with Jesus, and you're not quite sure how to navigate it and which way to go. You know, I don't want to minimize or downplay where you are, because those are your experiences, and I can't take those away from you. But I do want to give you hope, and I want to encourage you to stick with Jesus. And I want to encourage you from a story that happened between two of his followers on that first Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
So it's the first day of the week, Easter Sunday, just like today, but there's no joy. Two disciples of Jesus are on the road to Emmaus, a little village about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. One disciple is named Cleopas, which is a man's name. Now, you might not actually think that that's a very important detail, but 2 millennia ago in the Middle East, women were not viewed as reliable, especially as a witness. So it's like Luke, who wrote this gospel, wanted the original readers to know that if they wanted to do some fact-checking to see if this story was actually true, he's saying, feel free. Go talk to Cleopas. He will tell you everything exactly how it happened. Well, we don't know the name of the other disciple. And as these two disciples walked along this dusty road, they're walking away from Jerusalem. They're leaving Jerusalem far behind. They were followers of Jesus. They loved that rabbi from Nazareth. He was their teacher. He was a miracle worker. He claimed to have been sent by God, and they truly believed that which he taught them. But then came the events of Friday. Their teacher, their friend, in whom they had placed all of their hope, had been crucified on a cross. He was proclaimed dead. He was buried in a tomb. That tomb was then sealed with a large stone that no person could actually roll away. And then it was guarded by a bunch of Roman soldiers. And these disciples, they had heard rumors that the tomb had been found empty early that morning. But it's pretty difficult to erase the memories of what they've seen. They witnessed Jesus die. They saw his body taken off the cross and buried. I think that we should forgive them for struggling with the concept of resurrection. And they're probably thinking as they walk, how's it come to this? If he truly was the Son of God, how could this have happened? So in their disappointment and their discouragement, they're going back home. They're leaving what they knew far behind, back to what they knew, back to what was familiar, but with a whole lot of questions running through their heads, questions that we may ask when things don't go the way we expected, or when we find that our hopes and our dreams are not realized the way we envisioned. We're asking questions like, what just happened? I thought Jesus cared about me. I thought Jesus promised to care for me in my time of need. Where did he go? I didn't think I was signing up for a life of disappointment and discouragement. And I'm not even actually sure if I want to continue with Jesus if this is how things are going to go in my life. Do you know, I have conversations like that from time to time with folks who have made commitments to Jesus, with folks who have been baptized, with folks who have served the Lord and served the church and served others with great zeal, and then something happens that shakes them, and they're uncertain if they want to continue because from their perspective, as far as their eyes can see, Jesus has left them and they want out. In the Western world, and specific to faith, there is a strong leaning toward what is called moralistic therapeutic deism. It's basically an idea that many embrace that says that God wants us to be good and happy. It's a kind of thinking that makes God out to be our personal genie in a bottle, handing out caramel-filled Easter eggs and Pascha covered in thick icing every day, ensuring that our lives are filled with goodies. And if we're not happy or things are not going according to our plans, kind of like the lives that all of us are living right now, well, I guess something's wrong with God. Like, where did he go? Why is he not making me feel good anymore? Why has he left us in such a chaotic state? I think that Cleopas and his friend probably were mulling these kind of questions as they walked, because they had witnessed Jesus feeding the 5,000. And they saw what happened on that hillside. They had seen just a short time before how Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And really, that's where life is at. You want to hang with people who are like that, movers and shakers. But then they saw their teacher and their friend arrested and betrayed and killed. What happened? They hadn't signed up for that. So like anyone who's been disappointed or discouraged by unmet expectations, these two disciples try to make sense of this tragedy as they walk along and they make their way back home to Emmaus. And they're doing this until suddenly a stranger walks along with them. Verse 15 of Luke chapter 24. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. You know, as I read this story, and maybe you were catching it too as you heard it read, I think this is really hilarious because Jesus is the central character of the events that they are discussing, but they actually don't recognize him. Their eyes, in some miraculous way, are being kept from knowing that it was him. And they're saying things like, "Oh, he used to do this, and you should have been there when he did this, and he could walk on water, and he was so kind. And we've never met anyone like him. I can't believe that he's gone." And on and on and on they talked about this teacher and friend that they loved so deeply, as Jesus is listening intently. And finally, Jesus asks the question, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They're totally baffled, because everybody in Jerusalem knew what happened. Like, are you a visitor to Jerusalem? They can't believe it. Have you not heard about the things that happened in the city? It's the equivalent of someone coming up to you today and asking you, "Why is everyone self-isolating?" You would look at them in astonishment. You would say, like, "Are you from another planet? Have you not heard about COVID-19? Cleopas, he asks, "Have you not heard about the things that have happened in Jerusalem?" If you've never thought that Jesus has a sense of humor, when you kind of read through this story, this should change your mind. He's been at the center of all of the attention. He was put on trial. He was beaten and hung on a cross while many people stood around and watched the world go black. Rocks split apart. The veil of the temple was torn in two. Graves popped open, dead people came to life, and they're walking around Jerusalem. That's how great the power of God was when the exertion of Jesus' death happened. And Jesus asks, "What things? What things?" And they tell Jesus everything. "Oh, he was such a good man. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. We knew that he was a prophet. He ran into trouble with the chief priests. We heard that he was betrayed. They beat him until he couldn't stand. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They laughed at him. They killed him." And everything that they say to this stranger who is walking alongside them is in the past tense, which is normally how we speak of the dead. "Oh, these disciples, they loved him and they clung to every cherished memory, but they were so disappointed. So disappointed, because everything that they had hoped for, all their dreams and their expectations had come crashing to a halt. They had heard the rumors of an empty tomb, but they didn't know what it meant. They're trying to come to grips with their perception of reality and then move on with life. They wanted to believe in Jesus. They wanted to believe that he was who he said he was, but they just couldn't see him with their physical eyes. So in their minds, He's let them down. The third day is almost gone. And where's Jesus? Jesus is nowhere to be found as far as they can see. See, for them, it was a story that had such a promising beginning, yet it seemed to have a really, really sad ending. And that's what Good Friday looks like without Easter Sunday. Without the resurrection, the cross is nothing but a tragedy. It's a story without a moral. A number of years ago, the church that I pastored in Abbotsford held the joint Good Friday service together with one of our sister Mennonite Brethren churches in town. And on that worship team, there was a young woman leading us in worship. And I stood there in the congregation, and I could not believe what I was seeing. You see, earlier that year, this young mom's 5-year-old daughter had been murdered by her husband. And here she was, just months later, leading us in songs about hope and resurrection and Jesus dying for our sin. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking to myself, how does she recognize Jesus in her disappointment and her grief? How has she stuck with him through dark days that I cannot even begin to imagine? And yet here she is, clinging to Jesus. And it makes me wonder, when life gets discouraging, are we looking for the wrong signals of Jesus' presence, and therefore we actually miss seeing that Jesus is right there with us? You see, our discouragement and our disappointments often keep us from seeing Jesus, even though he's right there. Jesus, he has great patience for us the whole while. These two disciples, Cleopas and his friend, they're walking and they're talking and they're pouring out their confusion and their despair. And they told Jesus everything. And he listens patiently. He walks alongside them with great patience and great care. Now, he did call them foolish, but you know what? It's not what we think it means. When we call someone a fool, we usually think of that person as a moron or an idiot. But what Jesus meant was that these disciples were slow to apply the truth that they already knew. See, they knew a lot. They knew a lot about Jesus. They knew a lot about him theoretically. They just weren't living it. And yet Jesus, in his patience, he did not rebuke them for leaving Jerusalem and wanting to go back home. He didn't criticize their doubt or condemn their confusion. But what Jesus did is he actually told them that they should have known and believed what God had already said in his word. And then Jesus took it one step further and he unpacked everything that was written about him, from Moses and the law to the prophets to the coming Messiah to his death, the resurrection, how everything had happened just as God said it would. And then Jesus says, and in him, in Jesus, all things were now fulfilled. So Jesus takes these disciples and he, in the midst of their discouragement and their disappointment, he leads them back to the scriptures, back to the word of God, to remind them again of what is true. And he says, it's all been written down. And you can even know that reliable people have witnessed it. Just ask Cleopas. You know, I don't mean to be overly simplistic about this, but if you are at a crossroads in your life or in your faith right now, you're discouraged about something, you're disappointed in how your life has unfolded, and you're wondering where Jesus is, as you read the Bible, you will actually find words of comfort and truth that will emerge from the pages of Scripture coming from Jesus, the living Word. Because the Scriptures all point to Jesus. They're all about him. And Jesus invites you to enter back into the word, to find out exactly once again what's true. And yet some people still might ask, what am I to make of it? What am I to make of it when it feels like Jesus has abandoned me? And you know what? That's a fair question. And so at the end of the story in Luke 24, Luke paints this touching picture of Jesus eating supper with Cleopas and his friend. Now remember, they still don't know who he is. They think that they've stumbled upon a stranger who doesn't know anything about what's happened in Jerusalem, but who knows everything there is to know about the Bible. They have no idea that it's Jesus. Verse 28 of Luke 24, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he, Jesus, went in to stay with them. I want you to notice that little phrase, Jesus acted. Have you ever seen that before? I haven't paid a lot of attention to it. That word acted means pretended. So we've already discovered that Jesus is a bit of a comedian in this story, and now we find out that he's also an actor. Like, why would Jesus act like he's going a little further? I've been thinking about that, and this idea didn't originate with me, but perhaps Jesus acted like he was going a little further so that they would actually invite him to stay a little longer. Think about that for just a moment. Jesus leaving so that you'll seek him all the more. I wonder if in those moments or those hours or those days where you feel that Jesus is slipping away from your view, and you're discouraged and you're disappointed, it may actually be that he is patiently hoping that you will invite him to stick with you a little longer. Maybe in those days when you feel alone, you feel confused, you're wondering where God is in your life, maybe that's simply a part of God's plan to take you away, to wean you away from the things of the world, to bring you to a place where you say, Jesus, it's you and it's you alone that I seek, and it's you and it's you alone that I need. You know, if you think about it that way, that might change your perspective. Maybe even the day, these days in which we find ourselves and the very challenges that you and I face that are before us right now, maybe Jesus is providing you with this time to invite him closer. Stick with me, Jesus is saying. Don't give up. I'm here. And then notice what happens when Jesus is invited in. He acts as if he's going to go a little further. He gets invited to stay, and then he comes and he eats with them. And when they eat together, their eyes are open to the resurrected Jesus, their teacher and their friend. He's been with them the entire time. Yet they only recognized the resurrected Jesus after they ate together. And after they eat, he disappears from their sight. But it doesn't mean that Jesus has left them. It simply means that they can no longer visibly see him. You see, just because you don't see Jesus with your physical eyes doesn't mean he isn't there. Just because you can't always feel tangibly Jesus with you doesn't mean that he has left you. And just because it sometimes seems like you're alone doesn't mean that Jesus is no longer by your side. Just ask Cleopas. Once you know that Jesus is truly alive, you can have that certainty, you can have that confidence in your heart that regardless of your current circumstances, regardless of the discouragement and the disappointment you might be feeling, regardless of the fear and the anxiety that faces you, regardless of the unknown future, Jesus is with you. Even when you can't see him, Even when it appears like he's left you, even when you do not fully understand everything that he has said in his word and that it's difficult to live out, you're not alone. Because Jesus is with you. I'm guessing the walk back to Jerusalem was a whole lot faster than the walk to Emmaus. You see, Cleopas and his buddy were told, booked it back to Jerusalem, back from where they had come, to tell all the others what they had seen and what they had heard, because their lives were never going to be the same again. If Jesus was alive, there was no time to waste, and they wanted to go and tell everyone. If Jesus is alive, everything we believe is true. If Jesus is alive, then death has been defeated. If Jesus is alive, then heaven is more than just a pipe dream. If Jesus is alive, then our sins are really forgiven. If Jesus is alive, then all of his promises, everything that he has said is true. And if Jesus is alive, then you and me are never going to be alone again. We may not see Jesus in flesh and bone on earth, but Matthew's gospel tells us, surely I am with you, Jesus says. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You know, I guess that practically speaking, most of us live somewhere between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. There are times when we feel very discouraged and disappointed, alone or overwhelmed. There are times when we're confused about life or we feel like we can't go on or we wonder where Jesus is. But this story in Luke chapter 24 reminds us that the resurrection has changed everything. We're not alone, and we never were. Jesus is with us always, everywhere, all the time, in every situation. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. He is risen. Just ask Cleopas. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this morning we just give you thanks for the hope that we have in you. Thank you so much for the resurrection. Thank you that we can embrace it today and we can live in it. Thank you, Lord, that even when it feels like we are alone, discouraged, disappointed, that you're with us. Thank you that you give us grace, that you understand our confusion and our disappointment, and that you listen and you care and you walk with us the whole journey. And so, Lord, today I pray that as you minister to many people, that especially for those who find themselves in that spot, that they just need to be encouraged that you're with them, that you would bring something from your word today and you would allow it to resonate. And so, God, we thank you so much for the work that Jesus did on our behalf. We thank you for the resurrection from the grave, which now gives us hope to live today and for eternity. And so we ask that you would pick us up and go from here. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.